We're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
I haven't watched a second of baseball since the Astros season ended because as a baseball casual, I believe that baseball only exists here in Houston, Texas when the Astros are good and when they're still playing. So I refuse to watch the Yankees in the ALCS. I refuse to watch the Dodgers in the NLCS. But I am totally fine talking about the end of the Astros season now a couple of weeks later with my good friend Jeremy Booth from KHOU. He also hosts a baseball podcast, Extra Bases, with Bristol and Booth. Jason Bristol from KHOU. Jeremy, good to see you again.
You too, man.
That was a rough way to end the season, huh?
You know, I wish it was a surprise. You know, I wish it was a surprise.
You saw it coming.
Yeah, I saw it coming on April 2nd.
April 2nd. I mean, you saw it that far away?
Yeah.
I kept lying to myself.
Here's the thing. A lot of people would think that would work. It works some places. Okay. It's not going to work everywhere. And by that, we are talking about the much discussed.
Yeah.
Much debated, much argued, and I wish I could stop smiling
because you're doing a little victory lap.
Oh, I did the, you know, I was doing all kinds of cabbage patch, and I was like jumping up and down, and I air five, and I really wasn't. I was sad that it got this far. Paul, here's the thing. The Astros are a better team than what we saw. Okay, they're a better team in the regular season. They're a better. They were. A better team in the postseason. I didn't want them to play the Tigers. Tigers is a club I said they didn't want to run into because they were hot. I know other people said the same thing. It's not like that's the only guy that said that one, but Tigers are hot. And AJ walked him in and even said, someone let the Tigers get hot. That's what happened. Reality, Astros are better than they played. And the statistics for as analytically leaning as the game has become, as analytically inclined as the Astros have been for a decade, regardless of the front office, and as analytically preferential,
that deep sigh,
that the state of the fans of the game seem to be, right? Certainly the ones that decide to throw all this stuff on us at X, right? Or on me.
Yeah.
At X. You know, they wanted Alvarez or Tucker to hit second because it made more sense that your best hitter gets more plate appearances. I get it. But not all people are created equal. Not all teams are created equal. And in this scenario, if you have a problem with Alex Bregman hitting second, then you need to get your head examined. He's a pretty good player. And he's about to go show the world on this free agent market what kind of good player he is, right?
Yeah.
The stats were lopsided. Without getting into the stats, and you know, we're going to that.
I'll read them in a second. But basically what you're saying is, and you said this with us multiple times this past season, the Astros are better when Alex Bregman is hitting second, and when after that they're putting Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez in the lineup. And the numbers specifically, I'll just read them right now. The Astros were 40-45. With Tucker and Alvarez hitting second this year. They were 42-24 with Alex Bregman hitting second. I'm a big believer that sometimes the simplest explanation for something is the reason that something is going the way that it's going. And as you said to us earlier in the year, Bregman's patience at the plate, especially considering how quick Jose Altuve at bats can be,
absolutely,
is huge to help the guys after him in the lineup see what pitchers are throwing and potentially adjust to that. And to set the scene for after the Astros season came to an end, we're all in the press conference room, and Jason Bristol from KHOU, your colleague over there, asks the question about those numbers, and Jeremy just turns around and just stares me deep into my eyes with this annoyed look because he was so annoyed that the Astros didn't think about this. And you were right. So you get to do your dance here. I feel like that could have at the very least made things a little bit differently offensively. The offense as a whole was so bad in that series against the Tigers. How many runs are we talking about as a difference? But considering how well Bregman was hitting, I would have liked to see Bregman get more at bats in a series considering Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez were probably not 100%.
Well, let's unpack the cues that we got, right? The cues that we got. We have a very early going part of the season where Alvarez is not comfortable in that spot. And here was the answer. He's going to get comfortable. He's fine. He's a professional hitter. Okay. We have a situation where Jeremy Payne at the time is the best hitter on the club. He really was for the going. And he's not hitting second, and we're just leaving him out of that spot. You go down the line, course corrects a little bit. Bregman gets into that, or Tucker gets in there. It's not great. It's better. It's not great. You have more injuries with the hitting, but Tucker's producing. He is producing in that spot. They're just marginally better, marginally. And Tucker gets hurt. And Bregman goes back to his spot that he's used to hitting, which is right behind Jose Altuve and ahead of Yordan Alvarez. And they get on fire. They go into first place, and they're producing runs. And all of a sudden, these pitching injuries don't hurt as bad. And the stress on the bullpen's different. We're scoring more runs a game. Almost a full run better, by the way. And so when you look at the deeper, and these aren't even deep analytics, man. This is just like basic 1962 numbers. When you look at more runs per game with Bregman in the two spot, Alvarez played more games this year and had far less RBIs over last year for being in a situation where you're talking about a guy's got to hit second to produce more runs to get more plate appearances. Well, he did that and produced less runs. Okay. Teams produce less runs. He produces less runs. And Joe says at the end in that same, well, they're interchangeable. No, they're not. They're three different hitters. Bregman is short to the ball, use the whole field, patient. Alvarez is games on the line, pressure situation, need runners on base. When's he really the best, right? Think about how many times we've seen him come through in the postseason. Left on left.
Right.
When he has to lock in up here, doesn't have the ability to take away from at bats. And then Tucker's an ambush hitter. He's always going to be an ambush hitter. He's going to swing at fastballs. He's going to hit velocity. You can hit him anywhere as long as he's going to get a fastball, and he's going to produce for you. Hit him fifth when he can clear the bases and people are ahead of him. Or fourth in this lineup. They didn't do that. And they ignored every possible stat ahead of them, and they moved Pena around. They moved Diaz around. They left Altuve one, which they should. But they kept playing with this 2-3-4 combination in a way that didn't work. And they get to the playoffs when you have no more tomorrows and you have no more opportunity, and they lose.
Why do you think they did it? And maybe that's a tough question.
No, it's not. It's not for me. I'll tell you why.
Hit me.
I think they did it because when Dusty – well, let's compare it to what Dusty did and AJ did. Those are the two managers before Espada, right?
Right.
It was said to me by somebody else I know in the game who's on another clubhouse. I'm talking about Dusty and AJ. World Series manager, no World Series. 50 years in the game, 50 days in the game as a manager. These guys had a little more strength to say, we're going to do this our way. This guy didn't. And so, I'm not blaming Dana – because this isn't Dana's forte either as far as – or his MO as far as how he goes about it. What I will say is I do think there's somebody in the office who had Crane's ear, which is – it happens. And I think Jim decided to let this guy run with it. And when we put Dana as the GM, Dana has player development over here, which seems to be going through an overhaul. He has scouting on this side, which he's building, which went through an overhaul. And he's got the Major League operations, which – or had some pieces left behind. Those guys weren't gutted. They were there. They're still there, right? So that's the one place he didn't have a chance to make any change. Somebody has his ear. Somebody decided to make a point because statistically they felt that was the right thing to do by looking around the league and told Joe who to hit second. And Joe's falling on the sword.
Man, it sucks for Joe if that's the case. Now, that would be consistent with what a lot of organizations are doing now where, yes, there's a manager, but there's a reason they're making less money. It seems like the front office is making a lot of the decisions. I'd point to a place that I used to work and cover, the Seattle Mariners. It's very clear that Jerry DePoto is running the show there. Should he still be after the 54% comment going into last year? I don't know.
I'm a former Mariner. That's an ownership comment. That's Jerry falling on the sword for the Stanton.
They are a bunch of whores. Yeah. And I mean, I sat down in a room with them once and whatever. I could go all day about them. Yeah. They were so sensitive too. I mean, we're talking about the Seahawks to help you out, you losers. But to bring it back to this, Jeremy Booth of KHOU with us in studio, former baseball scout. What we were discussing is that, hey, the Astros had a lot of success when Alex Bregman was batting second this year. The wins and losses show it, 42-24. And when they had Kyle Tucker or Yordan Alvarez hitting there, they were 40-45, including the postseason.
I mean, it's the simplest possible numbers in front of you. We're diving so deep into analytics to make a point that we're losing a championship window. If you're Alex Bregman, how do you feel about being moved around over the place? If you're Alvarez and your numbers took a decline because of what you're just doing what the club tells you to do, how do you feel? If you're Kyle Tucker and your numbers are all over the place, how do you feel? You have to go out and get contracts based on this, whether it's here in Houston or somewhere else, and you want to win championships, and now that's been cut into. If you're the pitching staff, people don't think they're related. You and I both know they are. The amount of stress on the staff, on the starters, and on the bullpen, it's emotional, it's leverage, it's intensity, it's strength, it's velocity. It's all these things that take a toll on the body that lead to, wait a minute, injuries and poor performance. And so now you've got a team that's not being used right personnel-wise. And I said this to somebody who was very who's very upset. He was defending Joe. This is a private deal. He was defending Joe. And I said, I'm not blaming Joe. I'm just not blaming Joe. And I think the fans need to not blame Joe.
I don't think it's Joe's fault either.
Yeah.
I mean, the lineup, whatever it was, hey, hit the ball. You know?
Sure.
It ultimately, that could have helped to have Alex Bregman in that second spot, especially in front of guys that probably would like to see the pitcher that's throwing to them longer than Jose Altuve's very often one pitch at bat.
One pitch at bat, right.
So that is something that could be different. But I'm with you. I don't think this was on Joe. I felt Joe took a lot of crap this year. The same way that Dusty Baker took a lot of crap last year for a team that certainly still has the talent, but has underachieved for now we're talking about 24 months straight.
Sure. Now, last year I gave him a break on the fatigue. That was something Jason pointed out before. A little bit of fatigue. You know, they played so long for so many years. They just kind of broke down. And certainly the pitching injuries halfway through didn't help. And McCullers didn't come back at all this year, and neither did, was it Garcia? Was Garcia didn't come back? So, you know, they ran down a little bit. This year, this is all personnel related. They were rested. They were there. They overcame Tucker's gap. This is how they just decided to move guys around. And you know, my question to everybody in the organization, if it's one question, it's not even about the stats, even though that's something to point to. It's not about the wins and losses as a whole. That's something to point to. What didn't you like about the last 7 years? That's my question. What went on the last 7 years that you just didn't like it?
The only 7 years I paid attention to.
That's right. 2017 to now. What didn't you like that decided to let's go away from that formula? You know what's good? We've been winning World Series. We got the same personnel. We're still in a prime window here. I don't like how we did that. Let's try another way. What is that? I don't understand. Verlander's not Verlander anymore, but you got guys that stepped to the front in Hunter Brown, who reinvented himself in front of our eyes.
That was great this year.
You got Ronald Blanco, who was a surprise. You got Valdez, who was a little inconsistent. You got Javier, who's hurt. But you had guys step up beyond that. You had Arrigetti come out of nowhere to be – year two is always the year for me, but it was a great year. You had guys show up to fill those voids, and you couldn't hit. Since when? Since when can this team not hit, especially when you show that you can produce 5-plus runs a game with that staff – with right. a certain construction of the lineup, and you decide to tear that down. What are we building?
It's a great question. And Jeremy Booth with us in studio from KHOU. So what happens next for Bregman? Do you think Bregman's going to come back? I have been over-examining social media posts. I saw a post that he put on Instagram over the weekend. And I'm not going to lie, this post made me feel like he was talking about, hey, thankful for the past year with the Astros. But he also had that tweet right after they lost to the Tigers. Thank you, Houston, which was right. A little more cryptic. Do you think Bregman will be back next year? Not an immediate no. That's a sign. That's a progress.
I think if Alex comes back here, it's because Alex is such a winning type player. I'm a legacy guy in Houston. My family's in Houston. I love being in Houston. And Altuve said, you know, in the last game, he's going to get involved with Crane and make sure they do everything they can to keep this guy. Jim Crane typically doesn't spend this way on these type of players. With Verlander, he got a figure, is certainly not going to have an option picked up, so that's a different deal. And Presley back on the roster with the vesting innings, right, and appearances. The pitching is going to be a primary focus of where they spend. If they get Garcia back, if they have Valdez and Arrigetti and Blanco and Brown, they have enough to start the year. I think.
It's such a big word for two letters, though.
It is.
You know, but all got, of those
you've
injuries.
You've got Hader who needs to be used correctly. You've got Presley back on the roster, like we said. You've got Neris who can come back. And you've got enough in the bullpen to give you some hope to start the year and get off to a good run right now on the roster without having to do anything else. The money's there. Now, they're bumping up against the threshold luxury tax and what they want to do with it. Verlander not being on the books will help that. Verlander comes back here. It's a pillow contract. It's low dollar, high incentive. It's not anything close to what he was going to get. My feeling is it's 70-30 no. And I say 70-30 no because when you're looking around who's playing in October baseball, if these guys aren't going to make a run right now, you've got the Mets, who maybe it's not a fit, maybe it is. You've got the Yankees, maybe it might be a fit.
Money.
Right? You've got the Padres who aren't a fit. You've got the Dodgers who aren't a fit.
All these teams spend.
But you also have the San Francisco Giants up there who, even though they signed Matt Chapman, there's nothing saying they can't move this guy to second base.
Right, and I think it was interesting that earlier this year, towards the last couple of weeks of the season, that there was that piece in The Athletic with Chandler Rome, and Alex Bregman said that he was open to potentially playing other positions. Maybe, I don't know if it was Bregman himself who said it, or if it was Scott Boras who said it for Bregman, but I would imagine Boston also on the table because they need to upgrade their second base
spot. And he plays well up there.
Right, you know. So I think there's a lot of possibilities on the table. I will say, 70% gone. I will take that right now.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know if it's going to be the same if they lose him. I losing Springer, losing Correa, losing Cole, among others, the guys who have left, Charlie Morton, and that they've been able to continue the success has been probably the most impressive part about what they've been doing over these last 7 years.
Agreed.
It feels a little different with Bregman. There were a couple of stories this year. I think it was Bregman who picked up that Hunter Brown, hey, maybe the two-seam fastball, you should be throwing it a little bit more. He tells that to him, and all of a sudden, you saw what happened with Brown, where Brown goes from being a guy who we were all like, oh, my God, what's going on?
Reliever. Yeah.
I think Espada said about him going into that game two start, this is one of the best starting pitchers in baseball.
When you know, veteran players are veterans for a reason. They stick around. I don't know, Bregman hasn't hit 10 years yet, but it's coming, and you know, he's a guy that brings us, even since he was a kid, and I say kid at 14 years old when I first started watching him play, brings so much more to the game besides the actual production on the field. He's a baseball rat. He's a worker. He sets the tone. He's good in the clubhouse. You know, when he came up, I was very critical of him, you know, personally, to the point where I think I can say this now, Alex reached out to me.
Oh, wow.
He did. Yeah. And he it was before the pandemic. He reached out to me and said, because I said no one wants to play with him. At the time, nobody did. Not outside of Houston, right? Guys were on him because he was just – it was the dugout shuffle and it was all the extra talk. And, you know, and then the scandal hit, right? And I said, I'll see you in spring training. And then the pandemic hit. And it just never happened. And, you know, ever since then, it's been – I've watched him mature. We were going to talk. I said, you sure you want to have this conversation? He's like, yeah, let's talk. I said, all right. And so we go down that line a little bit, and I've come to really respect and appreciate, first of all, not just what I've seen him grow up to be, but what kind of leader he's become in the big leagues. You know, it's akin to Biggio in my mind not being here. This is Biggio Bagwell, him and Altuve. You're right. Springer was treated wrong from the beginning. He was out his first opportunity. Correa never had the same feel for Carlos, even though he was drafted and grown up here. This is different. If Altuve leaves, the world kind of ends. And if Bregman leaves, the world kind of ends. And it's nothing against Carlos or George or anything like that, who are great players and good people. That's not it. It's just that's how this two work, right? If Yuli Gurriel, fan favorite, okay. Garrett Cole, everybody liked him. Okay. Charlie Morton, everybody liked him. Bye, Charlie. You know, when you start going down the line, that's part of it. And I don't think anybody else has that type of energy here. So it's going to be interesting to see if Crane buys into that. Crane is very big on the Astros staying profitable. I don't know that that is something that is going to help that.
We talked about this a little bit earlier. You're talking about a shift. Someone on this Twitch suggested it was Game 7 of the 2019 World Series where maybe the Astros decided to make that shift. Obviously, things changed that offseason because of the scandal and moving on from both Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch. I think one of the things that's been pretty impressive about them, just continuing this success is that they have been willing to let guys walk away and not treat them right. And now all of a sudden it does feel like they're treating guys right. And the problem is it seems to be backfiring spectacularly. For example, Rafael Montero, he has a great year. But as someone who watched him in Seattle, I thought, I don't know if this is going to last, especially with how volatile relievers are.
Right.
Jose Abreu, a lot of the numbers were suggesting that, at the very least, his athleticism was declining. I don't think anyone thought it would be this bad. But some of the guys they brought in and some of the guys that they rewarded, Verlander, you know, bringing him back again too, I wonder if, you know, treating guys the way that they're supposed to be treated could backfire. Say they give Alex Bregman an extension, because it theoretically could age very poorly. I'm just looking at all the ways to nitpick it, because honestly, me thinking about this irrationally, Jeremy, as somebody who has just enjoyed this run, I want to bring back Bregman, and I kind of am thinking to myself, I'll just put it on the credit card. We'll figure it out.
Well, so later. Let's talk about it. So Abreu's what, $20 million? Is that right? He's got one more year on the books.
Oh, God,
okay. And Montero's 13. Is that right?
Yeah.
And he's got one more year on the books, correct? Yeah. They're both 3-year deals?
Yeah.
All right. That's Bregman's money. So when you look at how those decisions on the front side affect the back side, you know, and I'm not going to beat – listen, you know, people go back and forth, and I've listened to this, and I'm going to say this, and I'm not an overly huge, you know, Astros. In my opinion, the Astros did something with me recently that wasn't personal at all, but mm-hmm. It was wrong, in my opinion.
Okay.
We're just going to stop there.
Okay.
Had nothing to do with me individually.
I'm curious.
Well, I'll tell you. It had nothing to do with me individually.
Okay,
but it was
gotcha.
It was the wrong move. It was wrong, and it was unethical, in my opinion.
Okay.
In my opinion. No one else. I'm not speaking for anybody else when I say that. You know, that said, they had the ability to do it, and they exercised that point, right? So what Jim Crane said that offseason was, basically, this is my team. I think he got complacent. I think he believed in the people that were around him. You know, you don't hear much of, and this isn't against anything against this guy, you don't hear much of Jeff Bagwell anymore, right? You don't hear a whole lot of this stuff anymore.
I really want
to. Right. So I feel like he listened to some of the people that were around him that made him give him the answers he wanted to hear, and he plugged a GM too late. Any front office guy, and I mean anybody, whether it's Jeff Luhnow, Ed Wade, Jerry DePoto, no one else is giving Abreu that money. Dana wouldn't have given him that money. But Dana comes in here, and he's got Montero and Abreu. That's $33 million out the door that he never signed on for.
Yeah.
So he's saddled with that contract, and now that comes back, and that affects whether or not they sign Bregman. If you gave Alex Bregman $30 million a year to stay in Houston, he's staying here. Would you rather have one Alex Bregman or one Abreu and Montero combination?
One Alex Bregman.
Right. So you have. So if you're looking at your money, that's what Crane has to decide. Does he want to eat that money for a year? Because then it's off the books, and then go that way. If he does, Bregman stays in Houston. If he doesn't, Bregman doesn't stay in Houston. That's what it comes down to. The market's going to be 30 to 35.
And look, if all these pitchers get healthy again, that's going to help him out a little bit. But I think the tricky thing is you probably need to add some bullpen depth. You mentioned earlier using Josh Hader correctly. What were they not doing from a Hader perspective?
To me, there's a rhythm he's got to have. I don't believe he's a true closer. I don't think that exists anymore.
Interesting.
I think it's whoever's got the ball in the right scenario is who's getting the rock. And it's, for me, it's one inning. That's it. Presley gets one. He gets one. And it's matchup oriented now instead of,
okay,
this is my closer. I don't care what he gets paid as long as he does his job, whenever that job is. Now, in the back of the bullpen, you used to talk about bullpen help. Assuming Urquidy comes back at some point this year, he's bullpen help. McCullers should never start a game on the mound again. He can start a game in the dugout. He can start a game in the stands. He should never be the starting pitcher again. He should be in the bullpen.
It's interesting. I remember on our very station, Keith Law was on with the Killer Bees, and they asked about moving McCullers to the bullpen. And McCullers actually seemed to co-sign it online. And that was, I think, 2 years ago.
Yeah, I said it in 2015.
Hell yeah. Okay? Look at that.
So when it comes to Keith Law, who's a close friend of mine, truthfully, you know, we've talked, and he's in agreement. And most people are in agreement with that. And McCullers didn't have the delivery or the stamina or the durability. He was the second coming of Rich Harden, who many fans may or may not remember. I'm sure you remember him. Canadian kid, right-hander, threw hard, good stuff. Could never stay on the mound. And Lance McCullers gets over 100 innings and he breaks. That's not a starting pitcher. Put him in the bullpen, let him throw 60 really good ones, and his money comes off the books too in a year or so. right?
Yep.
So you have the money to reinvest into the pitching staff. For me, if I'm Jim Crane, I guess this is what it comes down to. I bite the bullet for a year. I put butts in the seats. I continue to get my stadium, which is something I know for a fact is a big deal to them. Okay. The upgrades that need to happen to it. I get some love in the community. So maybe the people vote for that type of deal. I'm keeping Bregman in the building. There's a lot of things that go down the line that as I have become more acclimated and educated on the environment here when it comes to Houston sports. I think that, you know, they're an aging venue. It's a nice venue.
It is, but the air conditioning is...
It's an aging venue.
It's certainly not as good as it used to be.
Correct. And they have things they need to upgrade and fix, and need the city's help to do it.
And they need to lower the prices of the margaritas.
Without question. So they need to put winning products so the fans come, so there's a reason to do that. And I think that in this city, which is very emotional in some ways, even more than places like Boston and New York, which you and I have spent a lot of time in, you know, in L.A., it's very emotional. They need to have... the guy who's the second pairing of Biggio Bagwell stay in this building, pay him what he's worth, bite the bullet for a year, and have all that stuff come back to you later. I'm with you, in short, say, put it on the credit card and see what happens.
Yeah, F it. Just put it down the road.
Put it on the credit card.
We might not have a world in a couple of years. Yeah, just whatever. Do it later.
Yeah, right. Never know.
He is Jeremy Booth. You can catch him on KHOU. He does a baseball podcast with Jason Bristol from KHOU. Houston Extra Bases. Look it up. Jeremy, it's always a pleasure. We'll do it again. Hopefully, yeah, we'll be talking about Alex Bregman returning in the near future.
It's great to be back, man.
Always good. All right. It is Gallon and George. No Joe. Just Paul. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.